This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back in, 92.9 The Game, the Abe TL Show. Live here in the Kia Studios on a President's Day Monday. Been a wild first hour. A lot of calls on Kirk Cousins. We can get back to that in our next segment. But first, I want to welcome in Matt McCall on the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer. You've heard Matt with me before. Of course, college basketball analyst for SiriusXM, Field of 68 as well. Matt, how you doing?
What's up, man? Good to be back. Good to be back talking to you, talking a little hoops. You know, we got to put the football season behind us. All these football fans, they just want to hold on to it. You don't get the whole year. You're supposed to only get the fall, and then now we get the college football playoff really seeping into college basketball season. We got, I think, what, next year's the January 26th. I mean, they might as well put it past the Super Bowl now. So, no, it's college hoop season. We got a historic college hoop season going on just in terms of the Southeastern Conference and how good this league is.
And that's where I wanted to start. And you've obviously been a coach in the SEC. You already called it historic. That was partial wording of the question. Is it historic right now, or does it depend on tournament success for it to be a historic season in the SEC?
Well, even if you look at, you know, the NCAA tournament, I mean, I think as of right now, there's going to be three number one seeds coming from the SEC. I mean, Auburn, Alabama, most likely. I know they didn't play great the other night. And then Florida is playing as good, if not better, than all those teams. They beat Auburn a few weeks back. I think just starting there, you know, I think the ACC a few years back had three number one seeds. But look, because of how good this league is, I think we'll see multiple SEC teams get to the second weekend. But at the end of the day, the NCAA tournament, you got to get a little bit lucky. You got to get a little bit lucky with your matchup. You may have to get a little lucky with a call. You know, I go back to 2006, our first national championship run at the University of Florida. We were fortunate. You know, we were fortunate to play UW-Milwaukee in the second round of the tournament, who upset, I believe it was Texas A&M. Then we played George Mason in the national semifinal, a team who had a great run, but we're beating them 9 times out of 10. We got fortunate with a call in the Georgetown game where it could have been a jump ball, and Corey Brewer just flings it at the rim and it goes in. Joe Lindsay called a foul and won. We beat Georgetown in the Sweet 16. So you got to get a little bit fortunate in the NCAA tournament. But, look, I think we see multiple SEC teams in the second weekend, and then once you get there, anything can happen.
You also turned the last 16 minutes of that title game into a layup line against UCLA. So I've enjoyed watching that as well. Matt McCall, college basketball analyst for Field of 68, SiriusXM, also former college basketball coach as well. I got to ask you, UConn's the two-time defending champs here, Matt, but it has been a odd turn of a season this year for Dan Hurley. What is he trying to do with his persona?
Well, first of all, I think people have to understand Coach Hurley finds ways to get himself going, finds ways to get, let's just call it, fired up, to say the least. And when he's walking out to play the game at Creighton and the entire stadium is chanting his name, amongst other things, all you fans from Creighton are doing are adding fuel to the fire. And when you look at Coach Hurley, he needs something to press up against. And what he does is when he finds it, he uses it to motivate his team. And especially in years where he's maybe not as good as they have been in the past. And that's the case with this team. This team is not nearly as good as his two national championship teams. And I know he would say otherwise, and he would never say that to the media or, you know, to say that to anyone because, you know, he always has his players' backs. But that's the truth. And I think you're seeing that, you know, right now with the players that are just on his team, and their roles are different this year. Their roles are different this year because Donovan Klingon's not standing back there blocking shots. Their roles are different this year because they had multiple guys drafted in the first round of the NBA. So now your role's different. The expectations are still there because you're the back-to-back national championship, but it becomes harder. It becomes more difficult. And the one thing about Coach Hurley is he always has his players back, so he needs something else to press up against. And I tell people this all the time. When I was the head coach at the University of Massachusetts, my first year was his last year at Rhode Island. And as his last year at Rhode Island, he knew he was flat out better than you. And he didn't have to scream and yell at the refs. He didn't have to run up and down the sidelines and do all those types of things because his team was better than yours. And he knew it. And if you looked at him last year compared to this year, he was much more calmer on the sidelines last year. Let's just say not calmer, tamer on the sidelines last year than he is this year because he knew his team was way better than anybody else in the country. And if he was going to go nuts, maybe it would even give his team a little bit of anxiety out there on the floor. I just think it is who he is. He knows his team isn't as good this year, so he's going to find ways to try and motivate them. Pick a fight with the ref, pick a fight with a fan, talk trash to the fan, whatever it may be. His team always seems to respond.
Matt McCall joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline, an outstanding college basketball analyst. And we talk about one coach and what he's doing there and Dan Hurley to another, and that's the legend, Rick Pitino. He's got St. John's right there in the top 10. And it's getting to a point here, Matt, where I don't know if we're talking about this guy enough as possibly the GOAT of college basketball.
You're exactly right. I mean, you know, look, when we talk about some of the greatest college basketball coaches of all time, we talk about Mike Krzyzewski, obviously. We talk about John Wooden, obviously. But when you look at pure coaching, and look, he had some McDonald's All-Americans at Louisville. He had some NBA players at Kentucky. But he's a guy that always seems just how to get the most out of every single person on his team. And when you look at his team, R.J. Lewis may have a shot to play in the NBA, but there's nobody that's just jumping out at you. There's no McDonald's All-Americans that are just jumping out and screaming, talent, talent, pro, pro. And he gets the most out of every, not just his players, he gets the most out of his coaching staff, too. So when we talk about the best college basketball coaches of all time, straight coaching, he has to be in the conversation. He 100% has to be in the conversation. You know, I was up Friday night. They retired Coach Donovan's jersey. I don't know what took so long. He took the Providence Friars to a 1987 Final Four, and Coach was a huge piece of that, and they retired his jersey Friday night. So I was there. And you listen to how Coach Donovan talks about Coach Pitino, how, you know, his first couple years at Providence before he arrived, he didn't play. He didn't get off the bench. He'll tell you he was overweight, out of shape, and Pitino came in and somehow just brought the best out of Coach Donovan and turned him into a guy that got an opportunity to play in the NBA and another guy that, you know, one of the, in my opinion, best college basketball. He needs to be in the conversation with what he did at the University of Florida. So it's remarkable. Not only is he having a great year, his son at New Mexico is having a great year, too. The Pitino household has got to be excited. They have to be happy. Richard Pitino has those Lobos in first place in the Mountain West. They just knocked off Utah State for the second time yesterday, who's another NCAA tournament team. So I'd say it's a good time to be a Pitino.
Matt McCall, NBC Sports, Field of 68, and SiriusXM College Basketball Analyst, former college basketball coach on the WadeFord.com hotline, joining us here on the Abe TL Show. At the top, there's two players that have kind of stood apart a little bit this year. Of course, talking about Duke's Cooper Flagg and Johnny Broome of Auburn. Player of the year, who would you give your vote to?
You know, this is strictly because the conference, I think, is way better. I'm giving it to Johnny Broome, and that's, you know, Cooper Flagg is having an unbelievable year. He's the rookie of the year in terms of all of college basketball. But Johnny Broome is doing this night in and night out against a gauntlet of an SEC schedule. The ACC is just not as good. I mean, flat out, call it like it is. It's not as good. And Johnny Broome is putting up a double-double every single night in the best league in the country. That's the only reason I'm giving him the slight edge. I always like to reward winning, and that's what this Auburn team is doing. That's what that Duke team is doing. The only difference is the league in the SEC is way better than the ACC. But Cooper Flagg, you know, turn on the TV when he's playing because it's entertainment. The way he plays the game of basketball, he's going to be the number one pick in the draft. I know he said he's thinking about coming back to college. Look, I know these guys are getting paid. There's NIL money. But the number one pick in the draft is going to get paid a lot more than he's going to make in NIL. I don't know that the Duke collective can keep up with the number one draft pick can get. But it's fun to watch. And both players are a lot of fun to watch. I always just try to give the slight edge to the team that's winning. And Auburn is winning in the best league in the country.
And that kind of dives right into the next question. And this one, look, between Flagg and Broome, it's pretty straightforward. It's one of those two guys. Coach of the year, however, is a wild, wild debate. Probably 8 or 10 different guys have some sort of solid argument. If you had to give a coach of the year vote, where would you look for that one?
You know, obviously the choices of Bruce Pearl, who they're having a historic season. John Shire has to be in there as well. But when I think about coaching, Rick Pitino, he's got to be in the conversation. When I think about coaching, I think about turnarounds. You know, I've said this too. I think Todd Golden is a guy that needs to be in the conversation, and I don't think we're talking about him enough because of maybe some of the distractions that were around that program that have since been put behind them. You know, maybe that's a reason that we don't talk about him enough. But I look at turnarounds. And the Michigan program last year won 8 games. And Dusty May has that team in first place in the Big Ten, which is the second best league in the entire country. They had 8 wins last year. They hire Dusty May. Dusty May comes through the door from Florida Atlantic. He had 2 unbelievable years these past 2 seasons, taking them to a Final Four and even getting them to the NCAA tournament. You know, that program, I spent 3 years in that program. There's not like FAU is a rich history storied, you know, program. So he gets them. He has great success there. 8 wins last year. Throw on top of it that he had to take over for one of the best players to ever play and put a Michigan uniform on. One of the Fab Five. So he's coming through the door, and I'm sure some people felt some type of way because they were so close to Juwan Howard. So he's got to deal with that, and he's got him at first place in the Big Ten. I think what Pat Kelsey's doing at Louisville, that turnaround, another guy that had to take over for a legend as a player in Kenny Payne, but when he got there, it was an absolute dumpster fire. And he's got that program turned around and headed in the right direction. So I'm going to go Dusty May, first place in the Big Ten, 8 wins last year for the Michigan program. You know, they're no doubt an NCAA tournament team, a top seed. If they win the Big Ten, I understand 3 SEC teams may get number one seeds, but if you win the Big Ten regular season championship, you should be in the conversation for a one seed.
Matt McCall, NBC Sports, Field of 68, SiriusXM college basketball analyst. I only got about 30 seconds here, Matt, but since you mentioned Dusty May and since my guy Eric Slaughter's wearing an Indiana Hoosiers sweatshirt today, who's the next coach at my alma mater, Indiana?
Well, I think he's going to be called. You know, he needs to be at the top of the list. I don't know that he leaves Michigan, but they need to call him. They need to ask him if he will. Put him at the top of the list. I'm calling Dusty May. I'm calling Bruce Pearl. I'm calling Nate Oates. And I'm making sure that all those guys say no. And then maybe we have to go somewhere else. Maybe we have to look at a Mick Cronin in UCLA and bring him back to the Midwest. You know, but I think you have to start with Dusty. He's an alum. I'm sure at one point in time when he decided to get into college basketball that Indiana was his dream job. We all have a dream job. I'm sure that was his. You got to make sure he says no and then go on to the next one.
Matt, always appreciate the time. I had a bunch of questions I didn't even get to, so we'll definitely have you back on before we get to Selection Sunday and work our way through the full field, all right?
Anytime. Always enjoy it.
There you go. Matt McCall gets the job done. Always appreciate him, at Coach Matt McCall, on social media as well. All right, when we come back, we're switching from college to the NBA. It's time to talk a little bit about the All-Star Game. I stand alone in my appreciation for what we saw last night. I'll tell you what I mean on the other side. It's the Abe TL Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Welcome back in, 92.9 The Game. The ABTL Show, hanging out with you. Dukes and Bell, a nice day off here on President's Day. Want to thank Matt McCall once again for joining us here. Last segment, talking a little bit of college basketball. In about 40 minutes, we're going to catch up with Caleb Johnson, talk a little bit of NBA basketball, Atlanta Hawks beat reporter for 92.9 The Game. And in our final hour at 5:20, we will be joined by Grant McCauley, 92.9 The Game, Atlanta Braves insider, and, of course, host of From the Diamond. So plenty of time, plenty of thoughts still to get to here on the show today. We spent the majority of hour number one talking about Kirk Cousins. And I do find it genuinely interesting how passionate people still are about, one, a decision that may not be made for another month. What's the date? 17th? All right. So, like, less than a month, but you get the point. But then also a decision that ultimately, in my mind, I mean, how far down the list does it rank in terms of significance for the Atlanta Falcons offseason? It's definitely less significant than the number, or not the number one, but our number one draft pick, 15th overall. I think it's definitely less significant than unrestricted and restricted free agents and who you decide to bring back, and that goes for other teams, free agents, and who you look at. It honestly, it might have been less impactful than the decision to hire Jeff Ulbrich. But it's what got fans hot. There's no doubt about that. So we'll see how it plays itself out. But there are probably a lot of decisions coming this offseason. I think you're going to have a lot more direct impact on the Atlanta Falcons. The NBA All-Star Game. It's been a weird weekend for the NBA. And it culminated last night with the All-Star Game essentially going head-to-head with SNL 50th. I feel like I saw a lot more people tuned in to SNL than I did the All-Star Game. And that follows a night before where the slam dunk contest, three-point shootout, was going head-to-head with U.S.-Canada. Now, luckily, I have multiple TVs. And so I was watching U.S.-Canada and the slam dunk contest. By the way, Canada is beating Finland right now 4-0. And so it looks like these two teams are going to rematch in Thursday's championship game. Now, the U.S. does play Sweden tonight, but the result of that game will not be of significance. The United States has already clinched their spot in Thursday's championship match of the Four Nations face-off. In the meantime, the All-Star Game was won by Team Shaq, the OG team, led by Steph Curry and LeBron James, who ultimately did not play. And a lot of people were really angry at LeBron James. You should have sat out earlier. You should have told him you had foot and ankle discomfort and let someone else take that spot. I mean, okay, like, if he knew for a while that he was not going to play? Sure. Have we gotten confirmation that he's known for weeks or days even that he wasn't going to play? Or did it pop up? Because Anthony Edwards also didn't play. And at first it was reported that he had the flu. And then he said he had a groin injury. He's not getting any heat. I don't know the timeline for LeBron and when he felt that his foot and ankle was to the point where he didn't want to play on it. It feels to me like that was something that maybe crept up in practice. I mean, he is 40-something years old. Random injuries, random sorenesses, kind of just happens when you're 40. So I don't know. I'm not mad at LeBron, but some people are. Steph Curry wins the MVP, made 4 threes in the championship match, including one where he just literally pulled up from half court. Cool. But here's the thing. I thought the atmosphere was better. I thought the intensity was better. I thought the format was better. I think they screwed up the presentation in a big way. And I don't think the games were free-flowing enough. Way too many useless pauses in the action. And I didn't really understand what was going on. Congrats to the kid that won $100,000 for Mr. Beast. Didn't need that. Kevin Hart just randomly eulogizing a show that's not going away. Didn't need that. And it just felt disjointed. It didn't need to be, because I actually think the format worked in terms of, and look, everyone's going to come up with new complaints, and that's fine. But like, if your complaint was that they don't play defense and they don't look like they care, I don't know, man. Like, I think you can make arguments that that's not how it looked last night. At least not from my perspective. I got Eric Slaughter here with me, and I haven't given E an opportunity to have his say yet. E, did you get an opportunity to take in the NBA All-Star game last night?
Not a second. Didn't miss it. Didn't care to watch it. I was too busy watching NASCAR and catching up on some rest.
I have some thoughts on NASCAR, too. We'll get into that in a little bit. Yeah. We'll get into that.
I was not missing Daytona. So, never, ever.
I watched it. Again, multiple TVs. Mm-hmm. It comes up convenient quite a bit. But, yeah, I don't know. Like, it felt like people wanted to complain about the NBA All-Star game, so they did. And again, my complaint was the presentation, but not really the format. Like, I enjoyed the format. I think the format worked. I think you're fighting an uphill battle when you've got the NHL that is not doing an All-Star game at all. They're just throwing together four nations in a little round-robin tournament. And just by definition, that's going to be a little bit more intense, and I understand that. But it's not an All-Star game. Like, you don't have all. I mean, some of these guys are All-Stars in theory just because of the names that they are. But, you know, now that you're head-to-head with what the NHL is doing, everyone is suggesting, well, the NBA should just go to a similar format. Just do U.S. versus the world. The numbers don't math. Like, are you going to leave out American All-Stars because you've already filled up the U.S. roster? Because players,
okay,
the problem is players for the international team aren't going to care. It's one thing to represent your country, mm-hmm, the way you're representing Finland, Sweden, or Canada, like in this Four Nations face-off, U.S. as well. It's totally different to just represent this amalgamous group of international players. I don't think the intensity that everyone thinks will be there. And I've never really had an issue with the intensity of the game.
Thank you, Abe. Thank you, Abe.
It's about coming together as a
exhibition game,
having fun, mm-hmm, and rewarding. And the players who have done the job to be honored are being rewarded. Like, I've never been like, well, they're here, but they don't care about it. I'm like, I don't. Was I supposed to want them to care about it? Like, it's just, it's a celebration, man. It be a celebration.
Yep. I don't care about I want to see Shaq and Dwight Howard shooting three-pointers.
Yeah.
I do. Because they're never going to do it during a regular season game.
Right.
Okay? I want to see, I think it was back in the day, you know, I want to see Steph Curry having to guard a center. you know, because he got caught, you know, things like that. It's a glorified exhibition game. I want to see crazy alley oops. I want to see guys, you know, taking off from the free throw line. Who cares about defense? I liked it when the score was 199-198.
I care about defense to an extent because I think you can have fun exchanges when people clear out. Like, I think, and I'm trying to remember if I have it right, I think we had Kyrie trying to put the moves on Wemby. And he did. He created space, but he missed the shot. I think there was another situation where Wemby was beat at the top of the key, but he got them long arms, man, and he recovered and tossed someone's ball. I like defense in moments, but I don't need guys going all out. Like, I don't need to pretend the game matters a ton. I want to have fun watching it. And if I can sit and watch Steph Curry and Trae Young do a battle of half-court shots over the course of three or four possessions, I don't mind watching that. And so it didn't bother me that quote, players don't take it seriously. But I also, it was cool to watch the Four Nations, man. But you can't just throw together a rivalry in basketball and expect it to be what U.S.-Canada hockey is. Like, that also doesn't work. And I was thinking, like, can you do a U.S. versus France? Like, you've got a couple of French players who are going to be...
We had that in the Olympics.
I don't need that again. But, like, there's not enough members of France who are going to be all-stars. And with respect to other players, I don't think Luka Doncic or Nikola Jokic is out there giving 100% with the name of another country on his on their chest. Like, it doesn't work that way. And I'd imagine if you pulled together the French national team, if you pulled together some of the other national teams, it might be tough to get the full squad because not all of them are just all NBAers. But it also wouldn't be an all-star game. I like the fact that we're honoring the guys who have had the best first halves of the season. And so I don't get it. Like, the significance of trying to make this a game again. No, man, like, it's a celebration. Let it be a celebration. I have some thoughts on Mac McClung as well. We'll get into that in a little bit. Again, Caleb Johnson joining us in our next segment. How enticing is Kirk Cousins? We might have some time for that one as well. A lot of discussion coming your way, plus your phone calls. If you want to chat about Kirk Cousins, 404-726-0929. We're coming back. It's the Abe TL Show. Abe Gordon on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Welcome back in, 92.9 The Game. Abe Gordon hanging out with you till 6 o'clock. The Abe TL Show. We're chatting a little all-star weekend from the NBA and going to get into the slam dunk contest, three-point shootout, and some quick thoughts there. Just watching a highlight of Trae Young. I thought Trae fared quite well in his all-star performances. Obviously, multiple performances because they had two mini-games. Trae and Wemby. All right. Okay. We just going to pretend that budding friendship didn't happen? Those two guys had a nice little connection, did Trae and Wemby.
Doesn't matter now. They got their point guard.
I don't think it does.
They got the Fox.
Unless they prefer to trade the Fox.
I'd take that one for one. I sure would. Well, I'd take that trade right now, play for player, nothing else combined.
I'm just saying. Trae threw the ball off the back of an opponent. He then continued across half court and nutmegged a second opponent. I think it was Steph Curry. Grabs the ball and throws a behind-the-back pass to Wemby for the dunk. And so really nice showing from Trae. A little bit of fun being had out there. Made some really nice passes in the first game in which Team Chuck beat Team Kenny 41-32. kind of all-around effort in 6 minutes there. 4 points and five assists in the first one. Two assists and two rebounds in the second one. Also, we talk about playing D. Trey had a little strip block right down there, right in front of goal. So there's that as well. Finland is trying to fight back against Canada. They've scored certainly one, maybe two empty net goals here. It's 4-2. If they could somehow equalize, then Sweden is still alive, and it turns it. There's a whole mess of tie-breaking scenarios for who the U.S. would face on Thursday in the Four Nations Championship match. But the U.S. is already in. Going to talk a little Braves baseball a couple different times. But at 5:20, Grant McCauley is going to join me. At 4:20, I want to talk about the concerns I have about the Atlanta Braves. Now, I will say this, and I don't know. I don't know if this is the right way to say it, but it's how I'm going to say it anyways. And maybe you look down upon me for phrasing it this way. The Atlanta Braves got a little bit of good news when the New York Mets released some injury discussion today. Frankie Montas, who was going to be a member of their rotation, has a lat issue, and he's going to miss like 6 to 8 weeks. So I know we talk about it, and what the Mets have done in the offseason, obviously pulling in Juan Soto for big dollars, but the injury bug has already gotten them. Finland has just scored again, and this is a pretty wild couple of moments for Finland in this game, and Canada better lock it up. There's still a minute 15 or so left in this game, and if Finland can win another faceoff, if Finland can get the puck, they're going to pull their goalie again, and if they can get a tie and maybe extend this game, I think that gives Sweden an opportunity if they beat the U.S. in regulation to advance. Would you dump that game? Like if the U.S. is in a lose-to-Sweden situation, would you dump that game so you don't have to face Canada a second time? I know we're going to sit here. Well, it's not going to matter because Canada just scored an empty netter. So that discussion's gone. Oh, man, I wanted to have fun seeing who would dump that game to Sweden. I think I would. You can call me scared all you want. I might bail out against, you can use the premise of we're resting our guys, saving people for the championship match. I know Tkachuk is not going to play anyways, Matthew. Just had that on. The Atlanta Drive, by the way, had an outstanding comeback in today's match. They were down three with three holes to go. They win two of the last three holes, and then they win two of the three closest to the pin in overtime to get a win over L.A. Golf Club. L.A. Handed their first loss, and Atlanta, the Drive, they got another match coming up in about 15 minutes that I'm going to keep my eye on. They got a doubleheader today. They're playing the Bay Golf Club. So we'll see how that plays out. But a nice little win for Atlanta. The Drive stay undefeated. So you mock me for watching it and being involved. But if it's an Atlanta team, I'm going to root for it. I know the Atlanta Vibe last night, volleyball, thrilling five-setter to pick up the win. If you're repping the A, I'm with it. I'm with you guys. So
listen, you golf, volleyball, boy,
I'm all over it, man.
Well, that's why we call it ABTL.
I'm watching all of this stuff.
There you go. Did you have one of the Drive guys on with you?
We're hoping to have someone on tomorrow. Not entirely sure who yet, but if they pick up another win, I think we get one of the golfers. Billy Horschel had the game-winning chip, got it within 10 feet. Justin Thomas had a chip in from the rough on the final hole to win that hole and send the match to overtime. So big moments there. So look, we're hoping to chat with someone. It'd be a lot better if they pick up a win. Speaking of tomorrow with, and it obviously won't be me, it'll be the midday show, Andy and Randy. Brad Guzan is going to join the show tomorrow at 1:20. Guz, obviously a member of Atlanta United, and they are gearing up. It's match week. Like it is match day one on Saturday, and We'll have coverage for you starting at 6:30 with the Five Stripes countdown, and then Mike and Jason will have the call. But it's coming. The MLS season is here, and so Goose will chat with us there. A couple of big events going on around Atlanta. We talk about the Vibe and talk about the Atlanta Drive. Atlanta Motor Speedway getting it done this coming weekend. Obviously, we're coming off Daytona. Week two of the NASCAR season means we head to Atlanta. And also heading to Atlanta is going to be the morning shift. They're going to be Atlanta Motor Speedway on Friday morning. And then Bo and Mike are going to be there on Saturday afternoon as well, 4:30 to 6:30, leading into coverage of the Atlanta United game. So if you're heading to Atlanta Motor Speedway this weekend, Friday morning and Saturday, the boys are going to be out there. And you got it might be easier to find than we thought. I found a flag. I found a 92.9 The Game flag that had just been sitting in a desk for, I don't know, 7 years. It's a little faded. It's only got script on one side, but it's going to get the job done for the boys. They're going, so just look for the 92.9 The Game flag if you're going to be at Atlanta Motor Speedway. Somewhere close or directly underneath it will be Bo and Mike. So that's there you go. Mac McClung. E, you mentioned you didn't watch the All-Star game. Did you watch All-Star Saturday night?
I watched the highlights of it. I mean, you can catch the highlights and then see the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, when it's a dunk contest, yep. I mean, it
put that highlight reel together.
When you're Mac McClung and you actually make all of your dunks on the first try. Mm-hmm. Now, I think there was one situation. I'm trying to remember if he had to. There's one situation where he didn't attempt a dunk. Maybe that was someone else. It doesn't matter. When you're Mac McClung and you make all four of your dunks on the first try, all four of them are creative and leaping ability and bring home 50s, you're a deserving three-time winner. And look, you guys can sit here and say, well, this guy's not an NBAer, and so he shouldn't be in the competition. And that's fine. If that's the stance you want to take, that's fine. Here's what I'll tell you. I already know that whoever you're putting in there ain't the best dunker in the world then. And look, I don't even know if Mac McClung's the best dunker in the world. I've mentioned this. There are guys whose entire career is made out of touring smaller venues and just dunking. And I wouldn't have a problem if those are the guys that we saw. I mean, make it a reality show. And I know they already had a dunking reality show. But, like, have a tournament, man. Like, have a road to the NBA slam dunk contest. Put it on NBA TV. I shouldn't be giving out these ideas for free. But find, like, 16 or 20 dunkers and let them go ham. And two or three advance to meet Mac McClung and one representative out of the NBA. Like, I would, however you want to format it, I don't care. But, like, I'm not excluding Mac McClung at this point just because he's not in the NBA. He's very clearly one of the best dunkers in the world. If you think you could beat him, let's go. I know Ja Morant said kind of loosely, suggesting he would join the dunk contest, and then Giannis says, if you do it, I'll do it. Is that a path back?
No.
Because it's not going to happen?
Well, okay. I would be thoroughly enjoyed to watch Ja Morant in the slam dunk contest.
Giannis doesn't do it for you?
No.
I get that.
I'm that guy that I don't need to see seven-footers trying to be creative in dunks. At 6'3", the way Ja Morant gets in the air, that's basketball. That's
if they dunking. Can be creative at 7 foot, fine. But I agree. I think there's so much limitation to what they can do with the ball. Now, because of his size and his length, is he able to free throw line beyond? I mean, that's something we've never seen, a guy a foot and a half behind the free throw line.
Raise the rim to 13 feet, then show me what you got.
If they can do that, I don't know if that's a thing they can do, but sure. Then forget to lower it for Mac McClung and see if he even get up there. I mean, I've always thought a highest dunk there's a lot of different things you could do. Have guys jump from further and further and further and see who can do the furthest dunk. Have guys continually raise the rim and see who can do the highest dunk. All of that stuff I'd find fun. Like, again, it doesn't take much for me. And you guys should know that, like, if you've heard me talk about movies. Like, it doesn't take much for me to enjoy a film. I know the new Captain America is getting crushed. I'm probably going to go see it at some point this week. Like, it'll be fine. Like, I'm sure I'll think it's fine. There's almost no world in which an action movie that's got a little bit of story is just, like, the worst thing I've ever seen. There's just not. Because it has action. I can think of, like, the three worst movies I've ever seen. They're all romances, and they are boring. They didn't have enough action. So, anyways, I also I have some issues with the three-point contest as well. Tyler Hero ends up as the winning three-point contest shooter, and he had a 24 in the finals. Buddy Hield ended up with 23. One of his last few shots clanked off the rim, and if he had made it, he would have won. But Buddy Hield tied the three-point contest record with 31 points in the opening round. And it just feels tough for me to sit there and watch a guy who didn't have the best score overall in Tyler Hero win this thing. I would like to see a format change where you just give everyone two rounds. Whoever has the highest score or highest combined score wins. I don't need you to reset the scores, and then we're all disappointed that someone won this thing when multiple players were higher than 24 earlier in the tournament. I don't know. That's just me. That's just me. All right, when we come back, Caleb Johnson, 92.9 The Game Atlanta Hawks reporter, gets us set for the second half of the season for the Hawks. That's what's coming up on the Abe TL Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app.